Okay. I apologize. This is like the first time I've done anything like this, so yeah, sure. If I sound a little silly. I guess if you want, you know, we'll just go with, you know, your name and, you know, a little bit of what you did for the game.
Right.
We'll start with.
Yeah. My name is Jean-François Dugas. I'm the game director on the project. So my role consists mainly at establishing with the creative team the vision of the game and steering the boat as we build the game to make sure that we stay on track.
Kind of the general direction.
Exactly. To make sure that we said we're going there, so we're not going there or there. So we stay on track and everything. And also I'm there to help with realizing a lot of the story, and also with the lead writer. I'm not the lead writer, but I just participate and I guide it. And also with all the tough decisions that we have to make during the
like
development of the
game,
what is going to be cut or not, etc. And that's pretty much it, like, and a lot of PR stuff.
Fun stuff. Okay, well, I guess for starters, the process of writing the game, because I'm really interested in the writing aspect.
Yeah.
Was that sort of, you said to her, you know, we want this to happen, can you write a story around it? Or was
right.
it sort of a collaborative process? Like, how did the story come about?
We, when she came on board, when Mary came on board, Mary Damar, we had the themes. What kind of fantasy we wanted to have with the character, so we knew we wanted it to be kind of a security agent and these things, and a lot of things should be around transhumanism and all that kind of stuff. And when she comes on board, so I brief her with those intentions, and we start to brainstorm together on how we can play out those things. And I've been working with her and another guy for about like 2-3 months fleshing out the main story.
Just the main.
What it would be like. I don't know what the missions are. I don't know who the characters are. I don't know all the plot twists and whatnot. I just know, like, okay,
the overarching sort of.
Exactly. This is a dungeon, and he works for as augmentation, as biotechnology company. And he's at some point something happens to him, and then he goes on this quest. So I mean, I go right now. I'm saying less than I could say what we define, not to spoil the game, but
appreciate it.
But we go with the main high level high line of the of the story, and then once that is done, it's approved and we're happy with it. Now we start to dig, and this is now where Mary takes it on her own and flesh out more the story beats, and then we review it together what it would be. Still at this point, we don't know necessarily how missions play out, what are the choices and consequences. Now it's more fleshed out, and we go into what we call, when that is done and approved again, we go in what we call the kind of a blueprint process, in which now we build the gameplay and the story together. So we're in a room for about 3 months from morning to the end of the day with the art director, with the lead writer, myself, level designers, game designers, and we just hammer it. Okay, at this point, the story beat is this, and we want to convey that to the player. How do we do that? Oh, it should be the first day on the job, then he should be doing this and that, and we talk about all those ideas, and we write it down as we go. And eventually we can have a blueprint of all those things. And we're, okay, when he does that, okay, he should have the choice to do this or that, he should refuse it, and okay, and now we bring someone, what would be the outcome of those things?
If he sort of did
exactly.
That, yeah.
And we go, we have an Excel sheet that is from
math.
There to there. It's all the characters you need, all the choice and consequences. All
the possible
locations.
Permutations of everything.
There you go. What you do as a player, what kind of weapons you have, whatever, blah, 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 blah. All those things. But it's done in different steps. But the crucial one is when the story beats are identified. And we have the concept of the game, what are the core pillars and how they will work together.
Mm-hmm.
Now we build the missions around all those things. And sometimes it might happen that we will adapt a bit the gameplay to fit the story, because in some points the story is more important than what you do.
See,
and other times it's no, gameplay should be star of the show and story needs to adapt around it. And now we find solution to adapt the story to flow with the gameplay instead of the opposite.
Now, see, that's actually interesting, because I was going to ask you, you know, was the game built around the story, or was the story built around, you know, the types of areas you had? So, in general, you know, you had your story, but then occasionally, if you needed to tweak the story to fit sort of some sort of idea you had for a type of gameplay or a type of level you wanted to have, you would do so. But then there were times where you said, this is the story, the game has to work around this.
Exactly. For us, it's not kind of, it's not a mathematic rule. It's just like, what do we want to convey to the player here and
there?
How
do you want to feel?
How do you want to feel? And what is, in this particular case, what is more important? End of the story. And this is how we do it, instead of saying, oh no, it should always be like that. No. We're trying to create an experience, and we want it to be engaging, we want it to be powerful, and we try to make sure that we push on the right buttons at the right moments to give you the right kind of experience type of thing. But the core mechanics are built before we start talking about
those. Are sort of the tools you have to build everything else up with.
Exactly, because I knew that we would have hacking. We didn't knew at that point exactly how it would play out, but we already knew. Okay,
you're going to hack this computer system
here. This kind of computers, you'll be able to access this. You'll be staying in the game world, and you might be vulnerable to attacks. And we identify all those things for all the gameplay pillars, and we never talk about the story at that point yet. It's just once we understand exactly how it's going to play and everything, now we start to talk about the story, and now we merge the two together.
Okay. So they're sort of developed independently and then merged together, almost.
Exactly. I mean, you need to know what kind of game you're
making. Yeah, you kind of have to feel.
Exactly. Feel the mechanics, what it's going to be. And then when you build the story, you know in your mind when you start to build the missions, and you know
what sort of things you'll have at your disposal.
Yeah, because if you don't do that first, now it's easy to go, oh, player's going to do this, now it's going to do that, it's going to do that. And when you look at your piece of paper after that, okay, so we don't have 4 gameplay pillars, we have 35 gameplay pillars. And one is used once, the other one twice, and at some point it would become hard to, what is really important or not. No, the game is going to be those mechanics, the gameplay loop is going to be this.
You want to have those 4 mechanics really well fleshed out, as opposed to several shallow ones.
Exactly, could have been 5, could have been 2 or 3. For us, what was important was those 4 things that we wanted, and boom, you know, we went with that.
I guess what an interesting question would be is, I've been hearing that the boss fights are compulsory, and that you have to... Now, within the space of those fights, are you given leeway to say, you know, not kill the boss, to knock them out, or it's a fight to the death?
It's a tough decision that we had to make, because at some point we were struggling with deadlines and everything, but it's the only place where it's inconsistent with the rest of the game, and it's the place where next time it won't be inconsistent like this.
I see. So that's interesting too, because there were, I mean, even in the first game, there were a few situations where you had to fight and there was no other alternative but to kill the other person.
Yeah.
I think the fight with Gunther Hermann, I played the first one for the first time, finishing it,
right,
you know, a few months ago.
But there was the kill switch sentence that you could trigger.
I believe there was the kill switch, or you had to fight him.
Yeah.
And I had played the whole game non-lethal. I hadn't killed a single person. And all of a sudden, every time you shoot him with a tranquilizer dart, just a shield pops up and he's completely invincible, so you have to kill him.
Exactly.
So I've heard people that are upset, oh, there are these boss fights, but that's sort of, you know...
We failed to improve on that on Human Revolution.
But that's something you would be interested in fixing in a future...
It's something
hopefully future
we
game.
Already had plans to do things differently in that game, we just didn't have the time to make it right.
I see.
I mean, so since we couldn't make it the way we wanted, we at least worked to make them as interesting as possible in the context of being computer-centered, basically.
See, because sometimes it's nice to have a big showdown with, you know, an enemy. So, I mean, to a certain point, there's a catharsis to be had with that, I think.
I mean, it's, for most players, I think it's going to be fine, and they're going to, that's cool, and it's...
Part of the story.
But some more hardcore fans that will be into it, they will say...
Choice.
Yeah, and oh, here, guys, you're inconsistent, and what you give me for 20-something hours in those spots, you remove it from me. And we know that we're inconsistent. As we were doing it and making the decisions that we had to make,
just something that had to be done.
It's something that had to be done, so... To save them. So.
Now, within the space of those boss fights, it's not just here's a guy, here's you, they drop you in a room and shoot each other. Is there space within that fight for you to use the ability to develop, say, if you've developed your takedown? I mean, I assume you can't instantly take down a boss, but is it going to be sort of just get up and shoot him over and over again, or is there something, you know, is there kind of a...
One of the players that played the game, not one, but some of them that talked about it, as they were playtesting the game, they said, what is cool with the boss fights, it kind of, not force you, but encourages you to use what you learn through the game. Mm. So there are still, you need to fight, you need to kill. Where the biggest failure for me, failure it's a big word, but resides is that if you're a stealthy guy that only has the tranquilizer or gun when you get in the boss fight, now you need to explore the room to find
something to take him down with.
Because you'll be, with your small gun, you won't do anything. But we build the stages with that in mind. But you can use your physical objects, you can use your items, and you can be creative. Like I said this morning, one guy was with his turret that he turns against.
Yeah, I heard about
and
that.
And he managed to throw it in a room for a boss fight, and it did a lot of the job for him. So even though there are still forced encounters, it still remains a DSX game. So you can be creative.
You don't know what's going to happen.
It's just that you have to be creative in a little way. That's pretty much it.
Did you find that happened a lot as you were developing the game and testing it? Was that players were coming up with things that you had never expected that they would do with the game world?
Yeah, we seen a couple of things. One of the early thing that it was not this. What the guy had in mind was really, I think it was... It was the right thing to do. The way he did it, we didn't expect the outcome. It was over a year ago for the alpha version of the game. At some point, we had a player that was fighting one of the big four-legged robots, the Bugs Guard robot, one of the big robots we have, and it's really tough. And he was trying to shoot at it, and since it's very tough, you can destroy it, but it takes a lot of bullets and patience and whatnot. And now he was kind of looking at the items he had and how he could overcome that challenge. And we have what we call mind templates. Those are kind of devices where you can attach any type of grenades you have in your inventory to it. Mm-hmm. And you can attach that mind template to a wall, to ceiling, to floor, to a robot. And when it moves, it triggers and boom, it explodes. And now he wanted to use that, like combine a grenade with the mine. And he started to run towards the robot to throw it at him. But as he threw it, he was still moving forward. And instead of having the mine sticking to the robot, it stuck to the side of his gun. And we didn't thought that the mine templates could stick to our guns. And he was, whoop, and he was in his face. And now suddenly he was, oh, and start move backward, forward, and now he was starting to blink.
So, well, I suppose I didn't intend for that to happen.
That is something that... We have no design document that says mind templates need to stick to this. We just build the systems.
And it just happened that.
It just happened. And it's the only guy I ever seen doing it. And this is where I learned that we could stick mind templates to our guns.
I can imagine the shock.
It was funny to see his reaction and trying to get out of that situation. Exactly. And we had another guy with another kind of robot, a smaller robot. And he couldn't find a way to kill him, to kill it. And he managed to move boxes in some ways that he was able to corner the robot in a corner of a wall where he was stuck because of the physical objects. And he could go around in the level, do whatever he had, and he didn't have to bother with the robot anymore.
Sort of tucked him into the corner and went about his business.
Exactly. So those are kind of the
It sounds really examples. Cool that people are able to come up with that, though, because, yeah. I mean, it's almost like you've built... No, it's not an open world game, but you know, you have all these tools that you can sort of, you know, manipulate the world as you want. And I think that kind of interactivity is something that's really important to people who played.
And I think it's kind of what makes Deus Ex special in a lot of ways. Because when we say we want players to feel smart about themselves, it's about those things. You think about something and it works. It can maybe unconventional. But it works, and it helps you out, and you feel, oh my God, I did this.
And look at how clever I am.
Yeah, like the robot in the corner, I never thought of it myself. But the way we build the systems, it's made in a way that it can happen, and boom.
So it's kind of the beauty of what you've created here is that that can happen, because I mean that's rare. I mean, if few, if any games can do that very often.
Yeah, and depending on some of your choices, an encounter can be quite a challenge, or it can be like done in a breeze. Depending, it happened to me. I arrived to one of our buses, and it happened that I found a rocket launcher. I had 3 or 4 rockets, and the bus fight for me was 3 seconds. Like it was, and some of our internal testers said, oh, we need to fix that. Bus fights are too easy. No, they're not too easy. They're just like...
If you shoot a man in the face with 3 rockets, that's the end of the day.
If you found it and you have them and you decide to use it in the encounter, good for you. You're going to say, oh, it was easy. Yeah, but go there with your pistol the next time and you'll see.
And see, having people with those different stories like that is great too, because that was part of what I enjoyed with the first game, was talking to my friends and saying, oh, that part was easy. He said, oh, I had such a hard time with that. I was like, oh. But then I'll go and I'll say, oh my god, this robot keeps killing me. He's like, why don't you just, you know,
do that,
disable it. I said, well, I can't hack.
Exactly. And yeah, I think it's a lot of the magic of that kind of game and our game. When we see, we were looking at players playing for a certain challenge, it was fun to see all the screens when they were roughly at the same point in the game. And they were all doing it in a different way, but doing exactly the same thing. So what I like to say is that our story and the overall experience is kind of linear, but how you experience, how you live it, it's totally different from...
Completely different experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I don't know if we have enough time, but I'm going to throw one more at you. A member of my site asked me, since choice is such a big component of the game, when you build the levels, do you find that you build the level and then you tweak it to incorporate, say, okay, this guy has the, you know, he can resist electricity, this guy can jump really high? Or do you build the level right from the get-go with the concept of being able to do those things?
We build the, like I said, when we talk about the core pillars that we identify early on, before building the levels, we start to brainstorm about the augmentations, because we need to know what our character is going to be able to do. We need also to know what the enemies are going to be able to do as well, because you can build the levels and then figure out those things and make them work in your levels, but you ask for more work. So if you want to save some time and also make sure that your levels are
fully
taking
integrating
advantage,
everything.
Exactly. You need to identify as much as possible all your ingredients at first. It can happen that
something works out.
2 years after we started, we have a new idea and we decide to implement it, and we revisit some as part of a game to make sure that it's going to work with it. It can happen, but the more you're able to understand before building your levels, the better it is, because, okay, this is my tool set, those are my ingredients, and now I can build levels thinking about those things, as opposed as doing the opposite is more difficult.
Hmm. Well, excellent. That's interesting to know. I having played it just now, I thought, I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
I think we're good.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Great talking to you.
Thanks.
I look forward to getting home and playing through it.
Hopefully you're going to enjoy it.